You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Tom Michael, joining you to round out the show. A one-of-a-kind house sits on what was once a barren promontory in Idaho's Hagerman Valley. In the mid-50s, landscape painter Archie Teeter and his wife commissioned arguably the world's most famous architect, Frank Lloyd Wright, to design a studio for them. While in safe hands at the moment, Matt Gillum reports the future of the studio and other notable buildings is far from guaranteed.
We're riding in a school bus. The crowd is older and excited as we climb the side of the Snake River Canyon on the way to Bliss, Idaho.
All righty. We'll be close by.
Stopping in front of one of many gated homes, seafoam green metal letters on a dark wooden wall announce Teeter's Knoll. The group of about 20 people makes its way into a shady manicured yard. Standing there to greet us is Henry Whiting. In his 60s with a professorial air, he's the owner of the Frank Lloyd Wright home.
Teeter's Knoll was designed in 1952, so it's right near the end of his career, when he was working on the Guggenheim Museum in New York, among other much more famous projects.
While Wright built studios for himself in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Arizona, he designed creative spaces for several other artists. The only one ever to actually be constructed was the studio for the Teeters.
It's basically a one-room building. It was originally 1,800 square feet, so it's quite small. But that's because this is a place for creation for Archie to do his landscape painting.
In an effort to help the Hagerman Valley Historical Society raise money for a new annex, Whiting has opened his area home to the public for just one day. For 40 minutes, visitors basically have free rein of the property. Stepping into the studio made from stone, the first thing you notice are the expansive windows. They rise at an angle from a few feet above the terracotta floor to the soaring wooden beams of the roof. Light floods in from all sides. Whiting sums up his residence with an analogy.
Frank Lloyd Wright loved music. He described a symphony as being an edifice of sound. This is one of the most musical buildings that you would ever see or inhabit. I tell people now that being here is like being inside of a piece of music.
High notes dominate the song of the house. The flowing natural light, the aggressive thrust of the floor plan into a dramatic point like a ship's prow. The house builds to a crescendo. Kay Thorpe is a neighbor who relocated to the tiny town of Bliss from Southern California. A big part of the move had to do with being across the street from the right building. Every opportunity to go inside the house, she takes.
It's incredibly peaceful, and there's always a beautiful breeze coming through here. So it's kind of just a rejuvenation pleasure. I don't want to say or sound too crazy, but it's a little enlightening.
The owner of Teeter's Knoll, Whiting, has been the steward of the house for over 30 years. When he purchased it in the early 1980s, it was in disrepair. After giving it a second life, he has an impossible desire.
With the way the windowsills soar up towards the prow, parallel with the roof, it literally takes your breath away. I always wish that I could now see this place again for the first time.
As people on the tour enter the house, Whiting inconspicuously watches for looks of awe and appreciation as they get their first look inside the home. Wright buildings are hard to come by in this part of the country. There's one in Wyoming, one in Utah, and until earlier this year, there used to be three in Montana.
A Frank Lloyd Wright building was just torn down in Whitefish, Montana, and that was the first Wright building to be destroyed in decades.
It came as something of a shock to fans of the architect. Barbara Gordon is the executive director of the Frank Lloyd Wright Building Conservancy in Chicago. She says more properties could come to the same end as the one in Montana.
Our internal research has shown that of all the Wright buildings, about 54% have no significant legal protections to prevent them from demolition.
Getting a significant building designated a local landmark can help safeguard it, but she says the surest form of protection is something called a preservation easement. It basically prevents major structural changes without first consulting an organization like the Conservancy. However, Gordon is quick to point out,
we're not the Wright police. If we're holding the easement, we would like to be alerted to what is being decided on the house, and if there are major alterations, we will review it and provide ideas for different alterations.
According to Gordon, a lot of Wright homeowners see themselves as excellent stewards of their properties and aren't ready to commit to the easement. Back at Teeter's Knoll, owner Henry Whiting is one of those who doesn't have an easement. But the question remains, Will Idaho's only Frank Lloyd Wright building meet a similar fate as the one in neighboring Montana? I asked Whiting about preserving what he's built.
I am getting older, so I'm starting to think about what I'm going to do with it. But I'm not going to answer that question.
Clouds are rolling in, and there's a stiff breeze. Whiting looks out of the many windows of his famous home and watches as the sunny day dims. At Teeter's Knoll in Bliss, I'm Matt Gillum.
And joining us on the program to talk about that from Boise State Public Radio News, Matt Gillum. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Tom.
Matt, in your story, you said a Wright building was torn down this year in Montana. That's really shocking. What was the building? How did that happen?
So the building was the Lockridge Medical Clinic. It was in Whitefish, Montana. It was one of four medical clinics Wright designed in the later 50s, right towards the end of his career. It was a single-story brick building. It had a lot of Wright's typical elements. Think like long horizontal eaves, prominent fireplace that pretty much dominated the entire lobby, and lots of windows, just like Teeter's Knoll, to let in all kinds of natural light. So it was also on the National Register of Historic Places, which you might think would make it safe. Not necessarily. As for how the whole demolition unfolded, let's hear from Barbara Gordon. She's the executive director of the Frank Lloyd Wright Building Conservancy. She can tell the story.
Well, it was beginning of November of 2016 when it was sold to a developer. We were alerted by a local that the plan was to tear it down and replace it with a new three-story mixed-use development. The developer did halt his plans and said he wasn't aware of the architectural significance nor knew who Frank Lloyd Wright was. And so we worked in partnership with the Montana Preservation Alliance to explore multiple strategies to help preserve the building. So it was right after New Year's where we got the call from our local partner saying there are demo fence around it and crews that look to be preparing it for demolition. So we reached out to the attorney who basically, on behalf of the developer, said if someone could come with $1.7 million in cash for the property in 7 days, that demolition would halt.
That proposition was obviously pretty unreasonable. The Conservancy worked as hard as it could to meet the terms of the developer, but he kept changing the conditions and moving the goalposts. So the negotiations did break down, and on January 10th, the Lockridge Medical Clinic was no more.
Wow, what a loss. Matt, at the end of the story, you really captured a tone. Henry Whiting, the owner of Teeter's Knoll, says he wasn't going to discuss future plans for the home. Do you think the building's at risk?
I mean, he's such a dedicated steward of that property. He's gone through two major renovations of the home. I would be absolutely shocked if he didn't eventually get an easement or find some kind of loving, caring, dedicated, also Wright enthusiast to take it over.
Well, thanks for covering that story. Matt Gillum from Boise State Public Radio News. This is Idaho Matters.